first for a new covenant ministry.
Let's get started this morning. So anybody who would like to pray along or would like to just have a copy of the words of our prayers, we have decided to start praying it off for everybody. Our prayer from 1 John 5:18 through 21 to open up. Our Father, which art in heaven, teach us to know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Teach us the meaning of he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Confirm to us to know that we are of God, and that the whole world lieth in wickedness, that we may truly know the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, that we are in him that is true, even as in your Son, Jesus Christ. For this is, we confess, the true God and everlasting life. Therefore, teach us as little children to keep ourselves from idols. Amen. So our first psalm is Psalm 119K, or part 11, which is to the tune of Catherine, which we normally sing 33 to Catherine, which is da, 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 da. My soul for thy salvation faints, yet thy word believes. Mine eyes fail for thy word of faith. When wilt thou comfort give? For like a bottle wine become, that in the smoke is set. With grief, yet I thy statutes not forget. How many are thy servants, save when will thou execute just judgment on these wicked men that do me persecute? The proud have digged pit for me, which is against thy laws. Thy words, all faithful, are help me, pursued without a cause. They so consuming me on earth, my life they scarce leave. Thy precepts yet forsook I not, but close to them we cleave. After thy loving kindness, Lord, me quicken and preserve. The testimony of thy mouth, so shall I still observe.
The proud have digged pits for me, which is against thy law. Thy words, all faithful are, help me proceed without a cause. I think that pretty much summarizes the most tricks of the wicked. Most of the wicked who are digging pits for men are doing it against the law of God, and only people that will actually be able to recognize it are those who believe that all of God's words are faithful and able to help you. And if you cleave to the words and law of God, then you will be able to identify those pits and walk away from them. But if you don't know that they are against God's law, you might just decide to jump down into them. You might even enjoy living in a pit. You never know. We also have Psalm 4 and 5, which is out of our regular Psalter.
God of my righteousness, have mercy, hear my prayer, thou hast
Lord, thou shalt early
name, but I would just hang on to them. Yeah, when I see him, you know, I shuffle around to grab them. But you can do what you want. Well, for our resuscitations today, we have Matthew 5:13-20, which is a confession of Christ and the law, and also after that, in the back of the altar, which is why I said to hang on to that. We also have a very common one, which will correspond to the message I have in line for this particular Sabbath, and that is for what Christ says concerning the greatest commandments, which is the very first confession in the back of the Psalter. So we will do those two now, and then after that we'll have a resuscitation of the Ten Commandments for this month, as well as a special historic confessional lesson that I put in here that I wanted to introduce to everyone, as it will correspond also with what we'll read in John, as well as what we talk about very often. And so that is from Irenaeus of Gaul. And so hang on to those books as well, as that will all come together here in time. So this is a confessional lesson of Christ and the law from Matthew 5:13-20. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted?
It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men.
Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid.
Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works,
and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets.
I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill.
For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass,
one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled.
Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so,
he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven.
But whosoever shall do and teach them,
the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven.
For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees,
you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven.
So I hope these words are not dead words to us, as much of the light of what is we are given by Christ will make some sense in some of what we've been reading in the book of John, and also teach us what the purpose of being a true Christian is. So next we have the confession of Christ of the greatest commandments. These come from Deuteronomy 6, 4-5, and Leviticus 19:13. And Christ makes them clear in Mark 12:29-31. From the numeral 1 in the very back of the Psalter. And we will also, again, as I said, be reading these, and maybe we will have a second time to read them together during the message today. And Jesus answered, the first of all the commandments is,
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord,
and thou shalt love the Lord thy God
with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength.
This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this,
Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these.
They who answer thus answer wisely, for Jesus said unto him who knew these commandments are greatest,
You are not far from the kingdom of God.
And so that is not a light statement that our Lord has made concerning those commandments, and it's something we should definitely keep in mind. Danielle made me very nervous about my breath when I
said it once.
I speak, and so I went to the medicine cabinet and I saw a bottle that I perceived to say gentle breath.
Oh,
and I thought, well, might as well do that if my breath's rough and I want my breath to be gentle.
Something wrong. Yeah.
after tasting it, I said, this is disgusting. There's nothing gentle about this. And then I realized that it's a gentle birth. Birth herbs.
Wow.
So, I feel like I can deliver this message easily.
Well, I hope everybody enjoys having scripture that every week we can recite together. And it is the nature of convocation. The Bible commands that on Sabbath day that we have convocations. And that is how we observe that particular command, is that we pray together and read together and speak together and sing together. And so there is no such thing as a convocation without the con, which is the thing that brings your voice together. Vocation being the voice. So that's something that we really should remember as we have many believers that, for instance, when they are convinced of a Sabbath that is a minority opinion, they oftentimes isolate themselves, preserving the Sabbath but excluding the convocation. And so it's something that, regardless of how small or big a congregation is, that people should use the words of the Lord in their mouth together. And so we're going to continue in our expository look at the book of John. I've titled this part, "A Old Commandment Which is New," and there's a question mark after that because many people don't understand the concept.
We'll go in our Bible to Exodus chapter 20. Reading of the Ten Commandments. We'll just go back and forth from verse to verse. And God spake all these words, saying,
I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage.
Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth.
Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me,
and showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments.
Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
6 days shalt thou labor and do all of thy work.
But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy man servant, nor thy maid servant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates.
For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee.
Thou shalt not kill.
Thou shalt not commit adultery.
Thou shalt not steal.
Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor.
Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's.
And all the... Oh, sorry. Okay.
Well, I also have a little something that we have not looked at before. I actually brought this to the church in Indiana that I was with a few weeks ago. But this will be added to our historic creeds and confessions in the back of our Psalter.
kind of corresponds to the message that he had today, and I think it's something that's definitely worth noting. And so, if you go to the very end of this, there's a line, and then underneath the line, there's a little history written up there. It says, Irenaeus of Gaul was a pupil of Polycarp, and through him, he was a grand pupil of John the Apostle. He was bishop of the church in Lyons, which is Lagdunum, and that is in southern France, used to be called Gaul. And that was in 177 A.D., and he died in 202. So this is a very old man, very early to the church, and I thought what he has to say is incredibly important for us to consider as this comes from one of the writings that he wrote to express the faith of the Christians. And so we'll just read it all together after we get through the bolden parts, and then we will sing our last song. The called out, thus scattered through the whole world to the ends of the earth, has received from the apostles and their disciples
the faith in one God, the Father Almighty, who made the heaven and the earth and the seas and all that is in them, and in one Christ Jesus, the Son of God, who became flesh for our salvation, and in the Holy Spirit, who through the prophets preached the dispensations, the coming, the virgin birth, and the passion, and the resurrection from the dead, and the bodily ascension into heaven of a beloved Christ Jesus our Lord, and his appearing from heaven in the glory of the Father, to comprehend all things under one head, and to raise up every flesh body of all men, that according to the good pleasure of the Father invisible, every knee of those that are in heaven and on the earth and under the earth should bow before Christ Jesus, our Lord and God and Savior and King, and that every tongue should confess to him, and that he may execute righteous judgment over all, sending into eternal fire the spiritual powers of wickedness and the messengers who transgress and apostatize, and the godless and the unrighteous and the lawless and blasphemous among men, and granting life and immortality and eternal glory to the righteous and holy, who have both kept the commandments and continued in his love, some from the start, some after their conversion.
That is I was reading the book that this is found in, and I read through that, and I thought, wow, for a guy who was born, well, he was a bishop in 177, probably born somewhere around 105, 107-ish. And so that means in his father's lifetime, the fall of Jerusalem had taken place. And the first thing I noticed was nobody was saying there was a resurrection of the dead that already took place when the hyper-preterist view accomplished itself. But anyhow, there's other things that are very important, is that this is what the called out, or the church, those scattered throughout the world, the ends of the earth, that's a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 30, has received from the apostles and their disciples. And that is very similar to what you find in the Apostles' Creed. As well, there's a direct word-for-word quote from the fourth commandment, and how God created the Sabbath commandment. There's a direct citing of the Holy Spirit as a person, a direct citing against Gnosticism of Jesus Christ, who became flesh, was not a spiritual being, that there are three dispensations of Christ, the coming, the virgin birth, and the passion that has been accepted by the church from the apostles, that there will truly be a resurrection of the dead as there was a resurrection of Christ's body for men, and that there is a dominion of Christ that is coming to be. The doctrine of who Christ was as Lord, God, Savior, and King is expressed in this statement. That Christ is coming to judge and execute righteous judgment over all in a time to come. that he will destroy the spiritual powers of wickedness. They will not endure. In other words, right now in the world, we're not in the kingdom of God. Christ has not returned because there are spiritual wicked powers still around. And that those who will be judged will be the godless, the unrighteous, the lawless, the blasphemous, and that God will grant life, immortality, eternal glory to the righteous and holy, who he says have both kept the commandments and continue in Christ's love. Some of them in Irenaeus' time, was able to do this from their start, in other words, children born to Christian parents, and some after they were converted from paganism. And so this is what John is talking about in a lot of ways, of those who have the same common faith. And you can see even one quote from the book of John, continue in his love, right there. And so I thought that this is a very good confessional lesson that we could learn from the historic church to add to our understanding. So we're going to sing our final psalm, and then we will close for lunch.
Yummy lunch.
Very thankful for the work of the men who put together the Scottish Metrical Psalter. I don't know about anyone else, but I can't imagine how much work went into putting that together. And how much life and back pain probably went into it from sitting there to do that.
Out of their troubles all, and they
But yeah.